The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the program. We have several guests in the studio today. We have Don Rogers, Lisa McManaman, Lynn Rapson, Randy Geiger. We're going to be talking about the upcoming vote. The Bad Axe Public Schools has a millage vote on the ballot May the 3rd, and it's for technology, security, and other things at the school. First of all, thank you all for being with us today.
Thanks for having us,
Craig. Thanks for having us.
First of all, it's a 1.5 millage, and this is coming up on Tuesday. What basically brought about this millage?
There was a technology committee formed at the school a few years ago. They were basically saying we need new things here at the school. We need to move ahead. This committee was made up of teachers, administrators, board members, and they listened to what the teachers said they needed. They listened to studies that were out there about what schools should have for proper education. That's how it started. And then they went and they visited other school districts in the state to see what other school districts have done. They went and visited big schools like Oxford, Sanford Meridian. They have innovative STEAM or STEM programs, depending on how you want to say that now. It used to be STEM, now it's STEAM. They added arts in there. And we also, not me personally, Bad Axe Schools also visited Lakers, which is a neighbor of ours that has have passed two technology grants, and Reese. Reese has, they looked at Reese because of their software that they were using. So they really tried to investigate everything that's out there, so they really knew what they were looking for and looking at, and that's how we got where we are today.
Now, did the technology committee take a look at what they think the school needs, what it will cost, and then they came up with the bond proposal? Is that how it came about?
The committee identified the needs, and then they worked with a like a general contractor for technology in these kinds of settings. Kind of like when a school builds a new building or adds on, they have a general contractor like R.C. Hendricks. They went with a technology contractor called Metro Technologies out of the Detroit area, and they then put together a list of this is what you need to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
And basically then it makes sure you have enough of the equipment to go around for the courses of study that are likely to be utilizing them.
Correct.
Don't want to be caught a pad short here or there and find out that the one kid has to share. And technology and kids sharing just never seems to work out, right? Anyone who has them in the home knows that.
I still don't like to share.
So basically it came up that you needed this this extra money for the technology. How is this going to be done? Is it one big shot, or is this something that gets phased in? Because technology changes over time. What you need today may not be needed tomorrow, or they could come out with a whole new version of something, and there you're sitting with yesterday's stuff.
Absolutely. there aren't a lot of defined technology purchases as far as what the kids are going to be using, what the teachers are going to be using, because even a year from now, technology can change so much. So they left it vaguely open for the school to be able to go in and purchase what they need when they need it. And this is coming in two phases. It'll take approximately a 1 year after the bond passes to change curriculum and identify the devices they want to use and implement those. And then 5 to 6 years after that, they're going to do a refresh of all the devices and equipment, anything that's broken, anything that's outdated, those kinds of things. There's also infrastructure and all that, which that won't outdate as quickly as individual devices, you know, wires in the walls and all that kind of boring stuff that nobody likes to talk about, but still important and crucial.
But some of the advantages to technology is that if you're using them for like your textbooks, they can be updated just like you can update anything on your own home computer or iPad or whatever. you know, you're not stuck with the school textbooks from 4 years ago when things may have changed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Some of the textbooks are very old at this time, and some of my children's classes, they don't even have textbooks, or they do, but they don't really use them because the stuff is so outdated in them.
It's like in the old days in my house, we had a Encyclopedia Britannica that, that I remember growing up as a kid, and it's like, this isn't right, because everything had changed. Yeah. And these things now can be updated in a pad or a computer format.
Exactly.
Well, even information that doesn't change, like things like history facts, can be presented in a new and exciting way now that makes it easier and more fun for learning, and that can help.
I hate to say this, but there's Wikipedia. It can change. Anyone who's ever seen Wikipedia and people try to change things, okay.
Yeah.
But, and it can also just give it in a fresh percent, you know, with pictures, graphics, and interactive graphics, things that a normal textbook just can't do.
Right.
Well, and even some classes at the school now, they're teaching flip classes where the teacher will actually present the class on a video where you can watch it, and it also will help the kids at home, you know, when they're having a problem, they can go back and they can watch that video of the teacher presenting the class, and then they work together in a different way.
Mm-hmm. You have not set up certain parameters yet. This is yet to be done as to exactly how it'll be spent. Some districts wanted every kid to have an iPad, this type of thing. This isn't what you're thinking of at this time. You're leaving that open to what the school needs.
Correct. The school does have some ratios in mind. Like in the elementary school, they have a specific ratio that they're hoping to achieve of number of students per pieces of technology. And in the high school, they have number of students to pieces of technology. They have those things, what they would hope to see. But, you know, again, as they get into their new curriculum that they have to develop to do this, working with technology, they're going to probably find that they have some needs that they didn't anticipate, and that flexibility is in the bond to do what they need to do.
And a public school is a little different than, say, a college where they might require you to bring a computer with you or a laptop or something. In a public school, the school has to make sure, because of differences in people's finances and stuff, that everyone has an equal opportunity, and that's part of the reason that, you know, making sure there's tech available for all the kids becomes important.
Correct. My kids, I know they'll come home from school and say, we had to all get our smartphones out today in class to do something we were working on, and they give me that look like, and we were the only kids who didn't have smartphones. And, well, sorry, sweetie, but that's the breaks. So.
But it's one of those things, though. You don't want kids to be left behind because they don't have the technology personally. So the school has to kind of step in. It started, I think, back with supplying paper and pencil. Mm-hmm. Even for families that were really hard hit and couldn't afford all of that, the schools made sure the kids had what they needed.
Right. And that's why it's very important that this type of thing gets passed with the voters in this community, because not everyone has the opportunity to give their kids the technology. And if they have it at school with their day-to-day teaching and their teachers can offer it to them and they have it available, then it will help them in the future to learn how to use this stuff.
And a lot of the money that the schools get from the state has to be spent a certain way.
Right.
And it doesn't allow for things like this. You know, they have to be sent on teachers and keeping themselves in a classroom and such. But some of the other things, even building maintenance at times, has to come back to the people to keep their buildings up and technologically empowered.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah, I like that.
Is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It isn't the fact that the stuff that we get from the state isn't should be covering this. A lot of the money you get from the state has strings attached.
Oh yeah,
and you cannot use it under certain things. So.
Exactly.
Right. And there's been cuts over the years where maybe in the past it was easier to stay caught up or to jump ahead with something like this, but there's been cuts and been cuts and been cuts, and just like everybody else, you know, you gotta do what you can do with what you have, and if you have to borrow money to put on a new roof, you have to borrow money to put on a new roof, right? You know, it's
But as everybody knows with technology, years ago, I mean, it didn't advance that much. You know, if you broke it, you got a new film strip projector or a new overhead yeah. projector. But nowadays, technology in a few years gets out of date, or it can't run the programs that the kids need to utilize to right. do the learning process. So right. you have to keep updating.
Right.
Exactly. I had my daughter at U of M. She's enrolled for the fall, and she attended a STEM Academy seminar, an informational seminar, and they showed a video showing the pace of technology in our world. And they basically said kids coming in right now, in 2 years, everything they've taught them, it's outdated. So freshmen, when they're juniors, what they already learned their freshman year is outdated. And juniors, when they graduate, what they learned is potentially already outdated. So these kids have to know how to use technology to stay fresh, and teachers have to teach different now. I mean, they have to teach them collaboration and teamwork and research and all that kind of stuff with technology, where before that wasn't the case. You know, you could memorize dates for history and learn your math and you're good to go.
And even use of technology in the classroom has changed quite a bit. I'm speaking from my old era days. We couldn't even have a slide rule.
Yeah, or a calculator.
Anybody know what a slide rule is anymore?
It would be considered.
We couldn't even have that in the classroom. You had to do it all in your head, and now the technology gets you far past that.
Right. And with some of the advanced math that they're learning, they need to have a certain kind of a calculator to be able to do the problems correctly. You know, it's moving that quick. It can't be trigonometry, the things that we learn that we could use a simple calculator for. So it's
well, and the idea is this is readily available. It's a tool to use rather than a crutch, as our teachers thought it was.
Right.
Right. Well, the technology's pen and paper now, from comparing it to your day or my day.
Well, in my day, yeah. we had to get the chisel out of the stones, but let's not go there. Now, is it exclusively for technology, or are there other avenues around the school that can also be enhanced for the kids?
This is it's a technology bond, but we are updating technology of security as part of it. There's some big needs at the school. One of the needs is our phone system doesn't meet the new 911 requirements that are coming in the next year or two. I forget what the date is. And so especially with all the lockdowns at schools and the security, all that kind of garbage going on in the world right now, we're going to update the PA system, the phone system, the bells, the clocks, all that, integrate all three buildings together. Right now they're all separate. So we'll have a 911 compliant phone system, and if the superintendent needs to make a campus-wide announcement from his office for security purposes or what have you, he can do that right from his office instead of having to contact all the buildings and have each building make their own announcement. You know, it's a better way to keep the buildings connected and safe and secure. They're looking.
It's sad we have to do this.
It is. It is.
Years ago, we didn't even think of this, but you just, you know.
No.
Turn on the news and see, and here it's happening in other places, and you got to be prepared for it. It is technology related to
right.
keep you going.
Right. We're also looking at keyless entry into all the buildings. Right now, you know, if you have a key to the building, you can get in the building whenever you want, wherever you want. Or whatever time you want. They put buzzers at the front doors. That works to a degree, but they're going to go to a key card system where, you know, your card, if you have access, it'll open the door. If you don't, it won't. If you're the basketball coach, after basketball season's over, your card isn't going to open the door anymore. If you have a card so you can get into the weight room, the weight room has specific hours,
and they won't work
outside of the specific hours. You know, it's a way to control who comes in and out of the building. It sounds like a little thing, but it's a big thing, especially if you talk to any of the administrators at the building. They know how big of a thing that is. They gotta control those doors. It never used to be that way, but it's sadly that's the world we live in.
And part of the problem is keeping track of physical keys.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You have people who come and go, you know, they're no longer with you, but the key didn't seem to get turned in. How many are out there? With the electronic ones, you can just deactivate it, and it looks pretty in your wallet, but it doesn't do you any good.
Yep. Let's see if there's anything else. The buses are kind of part of that security, too. I mean, there are two buses listed in this bond, which you can say that's really not security, but a new bus that meets safety standards and is mechanically sound, you could also argue is all involved with security and safety of our children as we move them to and from school and to and from sporting events, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And not necessarily things state aid pays for.
Right.
So right. You have to do it where you can. Okay, and do they still have computer labs?
They do.
I was wondering, because, you know, that would seem to me to be the place where you'd outdate yourself really fast, because, you know, you get a new operating system, you get new everything, and then the machines aren't tough enough to handle the new stuff, and you're teaching the kids computers on something that, you know, like the Flintstones.
They do, and updating those labs is part of this bond as well. They still have to do state-required testing at these kinds of stations, hardwired computers, that kind of thing. They still have their place, and, you know, just because they're using devices in classrooms doesn't mean if you're going to go and independently work on a project in the library that you're going to have an iPad under your arm or whatever the device is that they're using. So there's still a role for those kinds of machines, and they are going to be updated as well.
And it would just overload a Wi-Fi system if you had all those computers on it.
You
have to delegate your bandwidth.
Right. And the student devices will be wireless, along with the teacher devices, and that's going to be, you know, part of the infrastructure upgrade is to add wireless into the buildings to access all those systems.
And secured wireless.
I would imagine.
You don't want the students having free access to download all their music.
Right. Yeah. They control the internet access at the school right now. My kids grumble about that, where they want to do something online and they can't because.
And can't. Most schools have a policy as to what's appropriate and what's not at school. So mm-hmm.
Right.
All these things they've had to address over the years, and it keeps building up.
Right.
Okay. If the millage passes this coming Tuesday, you're talking about next year, maybe some of this starting to take hold, or because you know, we're Americans, we want it now.
Well, right, exactly. I want it yesterday. Infrastructure can start being improved right away. You know,
because you got the summer months,
right.
Which seems to me that would be a right. prime time when the students aren't running around in the halls. You can get into the ceilings and do all the things you need to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that kids will be taught is going to change, it will take maybe a year to change the curriculum, teach the teachers how to teach with these devices, you know, develop ideas of how do we use this technology to learn differently now. But the money will start being used infrastructure-wise sooner than later. And then
because they have the authority to spend it.
Yes, exactly.
As far as the safety, too.
Safety
right.
and security.
Yeah, safety and security. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of upgrades will take place. You know, they're not going to sit on that. but they don't want to rush into the devices because they want to make sure they're doing the right thing with them. And if the teachers don't know how to use them or how to teach with them, well, what use are they? You know, let's be smart about it. That's the approach they're taking.
Are we talking technology, K-12? I mean, it's usually when they started with technology, the computer labs were in the high school, and you know, but the younger kids, they mm-hmm. zip through this and they learn it so fast by the time they're at high school, they can yes. really do the advanced stuff because they've had all the basics.
Absolutely.
So is the idea of this to have technology throughout the schools?
Absolutely, yes. All three buildings.
Okay.
And that would include, I failed to mention under the safety and security. Security cameras. We have a building that doesn't have any at this point, and we have two buildings where, you know, when
we won't say which one.
No, we're not going to mention that. We have two buildings that when the cameras were put in, it was state of the art, but they're not high definition, and they don't cover anywhere near all the building. You know, again, these were things you didn't really think of at the time, and now
Well, and the people who are supplying the equipment found out, you know, you need higher resolution. You need to be able to pan the cameras, do all these kinds of things that originally we thought just, we'll just have a camera. If something happens, we can look at it and say, well, that's who did it. But it just changes.
Correct. So there'll be more cameras, better cameras, more computers that store the images for a longer, up to a month, exterior cameras, you know, those kinds of things. It's going to be a safer environment because of that at all three buildings.
And again, the schools have policy on the cameras and where they can be placed and things like that. It's for security. It's not for invasion of anybody's privacy.
Correct. Of course. Mm-hmm.
You have to walk a fine line on a lot of these things because you could come back to haunt you.
Yep.
Okay. If the millage passes, what basically can a homeowner look on their tax bill? Is this going to be a biggie? Is this going to be a large hit? Is it going to be a couple of bucks a month? How does it work out?
Well, the average home in Bad Axe is worth about has a taxable value of about $70,000. So we're figuring it costs about $4.38 a month for this. So if you want to run a movie or you want to, you know, go out to eat at McDonald's, it'll cost you more to eat at McDonald's than it will for this.
Okay. And again, it's for a 12-year period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But because you're phasing it in, it'll be good through the 12 years.
Yes.
If you do a big burst of technology and you have 12 years to pay it off, in 12 years' time, we could have flying cars. It's not going to happen, but I keep waiting for it.
Wishful thinking.
And the infrastructure won't outdate as quickly as devices. It's, you know, it's not like it's a total loss after 12 years that you have to scrap the whole program and start all over. But it's a start, and it's a good way to move forward. Because if you wait for the newest and best computer, you're never going to buy one because it keeps changing over and over and over again.
Now, you're one of three schools on the May ballot with these types of questions. It's Bad Axe, USA, and Caseville, I believe, is the other one?
Correct. Yep.
And many of the other districts already have them for their kids. They've been using the money to upgrade their facilities to keep kids up to date.
Yeah, this isn't something that Bad Axe is just pulling out of midair thinking, hey, let's be unique and put technology in our school. We're actually one of the last schools in the county to go after technology bond because Lakers already has passed two. Ubley has one, North Huron has one, and Caseville currently has one and yet has a second one on the ballot next week.
And you mentioned the committee went around to a lot of schools that have been doing this to see what worked and what didn't work so you can avoid some of the pratfalls in it.
Hopefully we learned enough so we don't make any mistakes and we saw what was out there, saw what we can go after, saw how to do it in a good way.
Because when you're pioneering, sometimes you have hit and misses, but when you're relying on proven things that others have used and worked well, you're getting more bang for your buck out of that.
Yep.
And all these millage elections for bonding, Bad Axe, Caseville, and USA, they're going to be held at the schools themselves. It's not your township precinct. All voting is at the schools. The Bad Axe school is going to have a site. Unionville Seaboard will have a site, and so will Caseville at their schools. That's the only place to vote. It makes it simple for people. You don't have to worry about, you know, if your township, am I in it or am I not. Go to your school. If your kids go to the school and you're in the district and you pay taxes, you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. It's at the middle school in the auxiliary gym. The middle school used to be the junior high, which long, long ago used to be the high school. If you're looking for the building and trying to figure out which one it is, it's the one right out there on the main road.
But you don't go to the old junior high because that's now senior citizen apartment.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Right. Yeah, don't go that far back in time.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind people, too, that you can still get an absentee ballot if you can't make it to the election for any reason through the 30th through Saturday from your local clerk.
Township clerks, village or city clerk, depending on where you live. Terrific. And polls open Tuesday 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. Typical voting times.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the typical voting things of, you know, show an ID or whatever when you get there. If you don't, they will have forms you can sign to bypass that. There's no reason you can't vote, have your voice heard.
Make sure you vote yes.
Well, you're looking to support the kids. People will vote their conscience, what they want, and hopefully it'll help the kids get the technology that'll help them in the future.
Right. Well, Bad Ex Students First is the fact that if our kids are successful now, they'll have a better chance of being successful in the future. So it helps our community as well, the Bad Ex community, to have more successful kids that want to stay here and work here in the future. And if they can learn and know how to use this technology, it will help them to do that.
And the best way is repetition. You know, just right. doing it every day in class, it becomes second nature.
Right. Well, and I think about, I'm glad I'm not looking for a job, because I don't even know if I could apply for a job now, because it's not like you take a resume on a white linen sheet of paper into a business and hand it to them. Mm-hmm. You have to go on places on the internet I don't even know exist, and you know, social media. I don't have Facebook. I don't, you know, I'm like an old man, you know, and I wouldn't know how to apply for a job. And these kids today, the things they already know how to do because they have a smartphone or because they have an iPad at home, you know, imagine if we put it in their hands at school and taught them with it, and they used it every day at school like that, and how far they could go with it in that respect, you know, because just sitting on the couch at home, they can go to another level. Imagine if they had it in their hands all day at school, with, you know, instruction of how to use that, and hey, you know, you can do this by doing this, and you know, it's just it opens a lot of possibilities for these kids.
And there's a lot of families that can't afford to provide that to their children, just even in the home. So to give it to them in the classroom is huge mm-hmm. for some kids.
And I've always said, if you keep the kids interested, they're going to want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
nothing was more boring when I went to school as you had to read this. You had to read this. If you could yeah. make it fun, all the better. And then, you know, it wasn't such a burden.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain things you have to do in school that are never fun, believe me. But but the more they work to make it interesting, to make it something you wanted to learn, all the better.
Right.
And this bond addresses some current studies about students learning, their environment that they learn in, and probably especially like ADHD kids. This bond addresses that with sound systems in the classroom, which they have proven that a sound system in the classroom, an ADHD kid will pay attention better, learn better, retain better, all that kind of stuff, which sounds crazy, but they've proven it, and this bond will address that. They're going to put sound systems in the classrooms. So the teacher, when they're speaking into a sound system, and it's broadcast into the room. I don't know why it works, but it does. So we're going to make it part of who we are as the schools, and our kids are going to do better. You know, little things that nobody thinks about. This is, technology is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and the kids need to know about it because it is everywhere. It's part of every job. Mm-hmm. I went into this job, and the two classes I took that were, you know, just, you know, you didn't have to take them. They weren't required. Typing and creative writing. What do I use every day? They're the ones they use. So yeah, you never know what the little bit of technology, the little bit of knowledge they can learn that they may not think is important helps them in the future so far down the line. Mm-hmm. Anything else we need to let them know before we have to wrap things up? Just get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
It's important to get out and
vote. It's important to the kids. I mean, certainly you vote your conscience. You know, America is a great country, and we all have our choices, and I support it. I hope you support it with me. The kids need you to support it.
Keep Bad Ex's strong legacy alive. You know, it's our mission to support the teachers and the kids, and this is a great way to do that as a parent or a community member.
Very good. Again, the election is coming up Tuesday, 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. at the Bad Ex Middle School Gymnasium, and other districts with it are Caseville and USA. Go to their schools to vote there for your kids in your district. And again, it's for the kids. It's something that the state funding isn't really designed to pay for. It's got too many stipulations and things that have to go to the classroom, the teachers, and raising the core curriculum rather than these types of things that help the kids stay up to date with technology. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Our guests on the program today have been Don Rogers, Lisa McManaman, Lynn Rapson, and Randy Geiger. They all have our parents of kids in the Bad Axe schools, talking about the 1.5 millage tech bond coming up again this coming Tuesday. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Fill that space between your ears with the Thumb's hottest country, AM 1340 WLEW.
Morning. We're setting up for a beautiful day today as high pressure controls the pattern. That ridge to our north will stick around, but a system slipping to our south will clip us with some cloudiness tomorrow and possibly a passing shower. High pressure once again returns as we look forward to tomorrow night and Friday with some fine weather to finish the week. Temperatures remain cooler than normal. Mostly sunny skies today with highs 48 to 53. East to northeast winds at 5 to 15. Chance of rainfall near zero. Partly cloudy tonight, 28 to 33. A light east to northeast breeze. Chance of rainfall 20%. Lots of cloudiness tomorrow. The risk of showers 45 to 50. East to northeast winds at 10 to 15 with a 50% chance of rainfall. Partly cloudy, 33 to 38 tomorrow night. And mostly sunny Friday, 50 to 55. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, this is meteorologist Russ Smirley.
Continuous country hits on AM 1340.
All we need is a July hot Saturday night. Couple cans on cool and the needle on full in a countryside. Yeah, hot little playlist of your favorite songs. When I get you climbing up in the cab of this truck, yeah, you know it's on, know it's on. Show you a side of these two lanes you've never seen. Heating it up behind a highway. Ooh, baby, you and me. And just running that crazy. Show you one hell of a night.
their look. I'm a sucker for your kiss, wanna steal them from your lips, baby, like a truck. A foot heavy on a floorboard, everywhere we go.